What we're going to do is just going to have a brief look back at the last year of the sort of missions that we've been on. As many of you here who have been with me on mission there, and then we're going to look a little bit into the future of what we've got and a little bit of a report back. But I suppose in these times of change, somebody sent me a photo, one of our support team back in the Midlands, who's been with us sort of 30 or 40 years during my ministry with TFM, etc. And basically what it said, keep the main thing the main thing. And it stuck with me. There's many things I could have done, many ways I could have gone, etc. But I've always tried to keep the main thing the main thing, proclaiming the gospel and calling people to follow Jesus Christ. And this year has had its ups and downs, as many of you know, for me personally and my family. But still the main thing is the main thing. And we're continuing to see people come to a living faith in Christ. So I just want to look back, one or two other people, etc. But the man who's been with me most this year is David Culhane. And David's been a great blessing to me, well, most of the time. And he's been great on the missions as leading the team and a great friend. And it just reminds me, I'm going to ask him to come up in a moment, but you know, we're at school. You know, we're at quite a few schools. And I go into schools and I say to the kids, you know, he's 85, you know. He's not... Is he? They say, is he? Yeah, I said, he's 85. Not bad, is he? Not for that. I said, no, I had to do his shoelaces up this morning. You know, look after him. And I said, oh, yeah. That's it. I said, he's all right. He's just had his medicine. So, you know, he'll be all right for a while, and then I'll take him back to the home later on. But no, quite seriously, he takes a lot of stick from me. And welcome to come up with David Culhane. Sorry, David. David's been with me on a lot of missions, and he's going to thump me in a minute. But quite seriously, it's been great to have him on board with me, and he's taken on a lot of the problems that I can get on with. The main thing, the main thing. Yep. So, right. It's your turn in a minute. Right, okay, right. Okay, I'm just going to go flick through, really, of some of the missions that we've done. This is, you see, people always think I'm in Ireland, you know, but they don't remember when I'm in England, you know what I mean? But we'll come to that. It's very interesting. We're going to go through the England missions first. It's a bit like the Euro Championships, isn't it? England and Ireland doing so well. Yeah. So we're going to start with England. Shall I? Oh, you're going to, that's okay. There's Culhane in the middle and a few of these team members. Frimley and Cambly was just over a year ago, and good mission to areas. David will speak a little bit about that in the moment, as he was there most of the time. But two things really come to mind for me in Frimley and Camberley was on the Wednesday, on the midweek, we had a youth meeting, and there were about 20, 25 young people there. And it was a special time for many, and about six of them really came forward, 14-year-olds, and gave their lives to Christ. It was a moving night. David was there, and a momentous occasion, I think, in the life of that of the Baptist Church there. So that was good. And the other thing that came to mind, on the Saturday we did an open air in Camberley, and we were outside a pub. I mean, there was these giant puppets, wasn't there, and things we were doing, etc. But a couple were sitting there, and I noticed them. They were really taking notice of us. So afterwards, after I did the presentation, I went over, and they were interested in what we had to say. So we were chatting with them. And I said, look, you know, down the road in Camberley, we're speaking tomorrow morning. Why don't you come to the service? You know, and you think, a lot of them don't. But anyway, come the service in the morning, the two of them are there. And quite amazingly, and they both came forward and gave their lives to the Lord. So wonderful, just a few snapshots. But David, tell us a bit more about that from your perspective, David's team leader.
Well, from my perspective, was trying to deal with Roger Murphy. But luckily, he went home for most of the week, so it was considerably easier. We had three teams, had a fantastic time. The Frimley mission really came about because one or two of our team members who lived there went and nagged their clergy to give us an invitation. And I'm looking round this room about lay people here. Can you not go and nag your clergy? Better? Right, nag your clergy to get missions, because that's the way a lot of it comes, is just word of mouth. People can look up Through Faith Missions on the website and find all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, it's word of mouth. I can trust these people. You can have them safely. And that's how Frimley and Camberley came. And as I say, we didn't have too much of Roger, so that was fine. Shall I go on? Okay.
Down and get his own back. No, that's great. Okay, we'll go on to the next one. This was Leamington Churches Together this time last year. 20 churches in Leamington Spa came together, did missions in clusters all around, and it was really, really good. Some better than others, as ever. But on the Wednesday night, as part of the Well Christian Healing Centre, they managed a town-wide sort of huge service in the middle of town, where it was billed as a healing service, and I was invited to preach at it. And one of the main things were there were 100, it must be 500 or 600 people there. It was quite a big meeting. But actually, after I preached the gospel, obviously, and called people forward. And I'm not kidding you, it was like everybody almost got up and came forward. And there were people being prayed with. The Holy Spirit was falling on people. For 2.5 hours, there were 10 points of prayer of people praying with people. 2.5 hours solidly, and I was just taking the ones that were coming to faith in Christ and praying with them. It really was a big move of the Spirit, and the ramifications of that are still being felt. But then the last day we had a big sort of celebration service, as you do at the end, and those of you who have been on mission know that at the end sometimes you wind down, you see. And I can remember on the last day, they said, oh, would you, like, it was almost like an add-on, would you go and speak with the young people? I thought, well, yeah, I'll do that on my way home, you know. And there's usually about 20 of them, you see. So I just bowled up there, and I must admit, I was starting to wind down. When I walked in, there was over 120 young people there. And automatically, you know, those who've been there, you switch gear, don't you? Right, you're on, yeah. And it was a great night. And again, 20, 25 of them, teenagers, 13, 14, 15, made a public response to Christ in front of their friends. So God's been good in amongst it all. And these guys were from the Roman Catholic Church. And see the gentleman to the left there, who's one of the fathers, and I remember he came up to me after I preached at the Catholic Church, and he said, that was very interesting. So, yeah. And he was hanging around, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take one of your booklets. I think I need to read it. You know, so there you go. You know, lovely man. Okay, so that was Leamington. Then where else have we been? Derby Green, yes. Now, Derby Green's a very, very special place. There's a lot of people. It's near Yateley, isn't it? That's right. Anyway, you wonder where Yateley is, it's near Camberley. It's southwest of London. David and I have been at Derby Green. It's been a partnership mission, really, over a couple of years. And Mike Saunders, one of the trustees, is here. And I'm going to ask Mike to come up and say a bit about the partnership of outreach and evangelism, the teams that have been there. Because this has been going along a long time. I've known Mike 20-plus years. Yeah, that's right. But Mike was a minister there. He's just moved on. They had enough of him. No, they didn't really. Mike's just moved on. But I'd just like to, Mike, from your perspective on the receiving end of mission, ongoing mission, various weekends, tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, I knew Roger from a long time ago when my kids were very little. And we lived in Manchester at the time, and he supported a team that wore blue and came from London. And so he teased our boys unmercifully. So we wanted to get him back. I mean, invite him back. And so we, having worked together before, we knew, Roger knew me and I knew Roger. And so what we did is we invited Roger to come for what I would describe as a mini mission. So kind of like 3 or 4 days and a series of events culminating on a Sunday. And each time he came, we followed it with an alpha course. So I chose to wear this top deliberately today, not because I'm not one of your walkers. I've walked on Walk Wessex. But actually, we've followed every single mission with an alpha course. And Roger's job, broadly, I do brief him quite well. Roger's job is to fill the alpha course. And then I run the alpha course, and then he comes back about 8 months later, and he fills another alpha course. And each time there's an alpha course, we start a new home group. And I had two parishes there, and over the time, we started about 12 home groups. And the church roughly doubled in size. It was a good number of people. And I think it'd be fair to say, too, and John St. Thomas talks about discipleship as opposed to converts. We were certainly aiming to make disciples rather than just converts. So the aim is not just to get someone to convert on an event, but actually to build people up. And over the time that I was there, 14 years, we sent 3 people out to be clergy. So I think we were making converts. Is that fair?
David, you were team leader there. Some of the ongoing aspects of Door to Door, which has been good over a couple of years.
Well, that's right. I mean, Colin and others from the Woking EA would faithfully turn up month after month and do some Door to Door with you on a Sunday afternoon. And the effect have, that's why I love this whole idea of partnership with churches, building not just a one-off mission, but keep going back. Because the more times you go back, the softer the ground is. There's no question about it. You're nodding. You agree with me, Colin. It does make a difference. And I know we haven't said anything about Pet and Fairlight, but that's true there. We had groups of people, with Martin West and others, going back and changing the ground. And partnership with churches, ongoing partnership with churches, I think is so important. So there we are.
Just put some numbers on that. So we went door to door with a questionnaire, so you'd expect us to. And question 5 is something like, if you could know God personally, would you like to? We got to the point where about 25% of the people who answered the questionnaire were saying, yes, please. 25%. How many houses can you visit in a day?
Thanks, guys. Okay, thanks, Mike. That's great. Okay, we're just going to move on now to... we're going back to Derby Green, beyond Mike. So this is Fairlights and Pet quite recently in May. There's the school, and Martin West was with us. That was a really good mission. David was leading the team. But this was a school set up. You see Martin there, and a Christian magician called Martin Fletcher who there. And the school had a Christian headmaster and invited us into the school, and it was amazing, wasn't it, Martin? Martin was with me in the school. Come here, go on, just go, breathe, yeah. Yeah, he's a bit shy and retiring, goes, you know.
Just don't mention the football. Well, it was amazing, really, because, don't mention the football, by the way, because we arrived at the school, Roger, didn't we? And his name was Nathan Klein. And I was thinking, Klein, because I'm privileged to help to coordinate the work of Hastings Street Pastors just down the road, yeah? And one of the street pastors at the local Salvation Army, Peter Klein. And I was thinking, I wonder if there's any connection there. A completely new area to me. Went into the school, didn't we? And headmaster walks in, and I said to him, oh, Mr. Klein. I said, are you related to Peter? He said, he's my dad. Which was amazing. Somebody showed me a Bible once, you have to have a childlike faith. Well, mine's a childish faith. And in the school, it goes down really well. Anyway, we had a great time there. The magician, Martin, is local, and we're going to use him in the future for little local missions as well. That's the guy there. We had a terrific time, didn't we, Roger? At the end of the week, we had an after-school magician show, didn't we? And how many came to that?
Same number of adults.
And it was just amazing. And, to give a gospel message and appeal in the school as well and then come forward, it was just so refreshing. And I learned so much, Roger, so thanks for you guys, particularly. It was a wonderful time, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. We had a good time there in schools. We did about three or four assemblies. We did three or four of us in the team went into all the lessons. We saw all the children and for our lessons, and we're doing stuff. But they basically could ask any question they like about the Christian faith. And some of the teachers were a bit silly there. They won't be interested in that. I said, well, just you see. You know. So, of course, 35 minutes later and then bombarded with questions like a machine gun, you know. I said, they're not interested, are they? They were very interested. David, for your perspective?
Yeah, as I said, Roger's told you the good things. There were some slightly complicated things. There were two churches in one Anglican benefice, one minister, two churches. And one of the churches was really keen, enthusiastic, and the other church didn't want to know, thanks very much indeed. Happy to talk about Jesus Christ and God on a Sunday, because I had to go there and preach, of course, because he went to the nice church. They were very happy to talk about God on Sundays, but during the week, absolutely not. Not at all. So really, there was that sort of feeling in the background. But nevertheless, we had a fantastic mission, and a lot of it's due to you, Martin.
Thanks, David. Okay, we're just now we're into Ireland. In these last couple of years, the bishops in Ireland, in two dioceses, had stood up and said, right, every parish is going to have a mission. And that's happened in Down and Dromore, which is south of Belfast, etc. And so, you know, if not, why not, he says to the clergy. Could do a bit of that over here, couldn't we? So this last year I've been in Down and Dromore, which is Belfast and south. And this was one I went out to Knocknagony. There's the minister, David Brown, there. Lovely, real rough estate just near Belfast City Airport. It really was a rough place and a hard place. But it's very interesting that actually, you know, you get the big families on this estate. There were six women who came to faith during that mission representing the six main families. These are all terrorist related and all the rest of it, you know. So David said it's been a huge difference on bringing the people in. So that was great. And I remember one shady guy who came into church one Sunday evening with his daughter Summer, who was about eight. You know, Summer had responded as one of the open airs and brought a dad. And her dad was, he'd been an active terrorist, and he was a bit of a shady sort of guy, didn't say much. But afterwards, he came up and he gave his life to the Lord. And I thought, well, I wonder if it will last, you know. But anyway, I was back in Ireland the next month. We'll go to the next one in a minute. And I saw him outside the school collecting Summer, his daughter, from the local school. And so I went up to us. This was about 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, and I said, you know, fear of trepidation, how's it going? He says, it's going well. I'm on a course, and I'm going to that church now regularly, and my life has really changed. So, praise God. It's good news. Go on, Dave. Good. Then St. Donald's, East Belfast again. East Belfast is a massive sort of refurb in the church. They've built a whole new church complex. And it was a mission out to the to a lot of the guys around, and you know, Belfast. Yeah, you know, it's still as tough as ever, especially East Belfast. Many of you have seen the Strand and the riots there. Well, this is the sort of area. And I remember we went bowling one of the nights. A really good mission, and we're bowling there, and there was this family there. You know, he was covered in tattoos. She was a bouncy lady, put it that way, and kids and all the rest of it. And, you know, the type you would have thought, never going to be interested. The whole family give their lives to the Lord. And this guy, you know, turns up and he's tattoos at the church. You know, yeah, revelation. That's great. But I just tell you that that church, there was things are changing. But actually, there was a 13-year-old lad who came up to me. And he gave his life to the Lord after an all-age, a dads and lads thing, which was really good. But, you know, what, the minister, I saw him having words on the last Sunday with one of the choir members or one of the established, I thought, oh dear, didn't, you know, I didn't hear it, but you could see it wasn't a friendly conversation. And you know what it was all about? This guy had come, you know, and he couldn't park his car in the car park because there were so many other people there. And he was moaning to the minister that he couldn't, you know. Anyway, there we are. Praise God for the church, eh? The last one we did before Christmas was in St. John's Lurgan. There's John White, the minister there, who's been there a good number of years. Again, another hard church in Lurgan. We had a sort of 4 or 5 day mission there. But the last time I was there 8 years ago for a mission, a guy who became a Christian, a fireman, he stood up and he gave his testimony about how he became a Christian. And afterwards, his son in his 30s gave his life to the Lord. So that wonderful succession. And I remember at the evening service, there was a lady there, and a young, she was only about 21, 22. And I felt the Lord say, go and talk to her. So I just went and talked to her. I said, how did you enjoy the service? And that was it. She just burst into tears. I said, wasn't that bad, was it? No, she said. And, she came to the Lord. And very interesting, we learned afterwards that she was related to another woman who had given her life to the Lord the last time. So that succession going on. So there's a great, that was Lurgan. Then we moved into, this is Sligo on a nice sunny day. This was Good Friday. 6 churches in the west of Ireland in Sligo, we were going up some mountain or something. I was going to preach. Anybody recognise that guy? If I said Good News Down Your Street, the guy who wrote Good News Down the Street, Mike Wooderson. Yeah, that's Mike Wooderson. He's over in Ireland, freezing cold day. But that was a good mission. 6 churches coming together. And the report back from the mission had been very, very interesting. They were saying that although there was no sort of formal follow-up, there were a few groups, but in every church, the 6 churches, they said this, more people have come to church, more people have signed up to do things in the church, more people are interested in faith and going on with God, at all 6 churches. But I must tell you one evening, Uganda's here, there was a Nigerian church there, really, really on fire for the Lord. Now, you know, you might not realize this, but most of you here will. You put a Nigerian church in the middle of the west of Ireland, 90% Catholic, right? You got the picture. But there was this guy who's like, I called him like a Gareth Malone. He was a very clever Christian. He used the choirs and the music to draw in people who were not Christians. And he had this choir full of mainly Catholic people. Now, you've got to imagine this. Pastor Bobby gets up at the African Nigerian church. Now, Pastor Bobby was 6'9", small lad, and he was about 6'9" across. And he says, right, we're going to worship the Lord now. And everybody stood up. He didn't have a sound of it. And, you know, the typical Africa worship, beautiful Nigerian music and all the rest of it. And I couldn't resist it. I was at the front, of course. I turned around. I could see some of these Catholic choir. They'd never seen anything like it, you know. And, of course, it went on a while, as usual. But but afterwards, you know, seeing the passion of the African worship and the love of Christ, there are a lot of these choir members who had never experienced anything like this before responded to the gospel from the Catholic community. And over there, it's still, you know, very much, very, very, very much divided. So that was that. And then we move on to, now you've got to say this right apparently, Achadui. Achadui, typical Irish sort of small little place near Coleraine in the north. And see that handsome young man in the corner? That's Jim Fleming, probably our evangelist in Ireland. I'll tell you about that a little bit that in a moment. But Jim joined me on the mission. Great lad, Jim. And we work really well together. He's a good speaker, great at one-to-one, loves the Doors and all the rest of it. And I saw him lead people to faith, which was really, really good. Got on with him really well. you know, some people you go on mission with, you know, some of them are high maintenance. Some of them are here. No. Anyway, this guy was really good, got on really well, lovely man of God. And I heard him, we managed to get the opportunity for him to speak at many of the events as well. So I heard him and was able to sort of mentor him. So that was really good. Then on the final Saturday, as he led one guy to the Lord, another guy came in and he got a lot of these local little co-op shops, you know, right across the whole area. So he's a busy, busy, busy guy. But his daughter was a Christian, 13-year-old. And during the week, she came up to me and she says, "Roger, can I have one of those books? I'm going to give them to my dad." And so she got home and she said, "Dad, there's a mission on." He said, "Will you read this book?" And her dad said, "No, I ain't got time for that." And threw the book away, you see. And she cried herself to sleep. And he heard her. He heard it. And he went into her room. And, you know, called, he was crestfallen, wasn't he? And he said, I'll go and get the book and I'll read it. So he read the book. This was midweek. And then, wonderfully, he said to his wife, sitting there, he said, "I'm in a big mess. I've got my priorities all wrong." He came to the men's breakfast on Saturday morning. I chatted with him afterwards. I said, "Look, you know, where is it going to be at?" He said, "Yeah, I need to give my life to the Lord, don't I?" I said, "You said it." So he did. And I got a lovely email from him. So good things, good things. So that was, I could do. Just to say a little bit about Jim. As most of you know, he's been praying. Our original intention was to, we wrote to all the church leaders and everybody across Ireland and the churches we've been working with to try and get funding for Jim. And having Richard and I seen him and Daniel seen him. And it didn't come together, to be honest. We got a lot of support. We got a lot of a great idea and all the rest of it. But 20 years ago, we might have got the money in. But today, it's the situation. And we got some money and some pledges, but basically not enough to be able to employ him. We were employing him at two-thirds to a third. We were employing him two-thirds by the Churches of Ireland and a third by TFM. So anyway, but basically, there is a situation that's ongoing at the moment, and again, the trustees will get some information on this and make the decision. But actually, there's a parish who have come in that want to employ a church planter evangelist, and it looks as though it's going to become a reality that they would employ him half time, and we could use his other half as an itinerant with some funding from his home church and possibly some funding from TFM as well. But that, again, that's, please pray about that, because it looks like they had a vestry meeting the other night, and it looks this is on. So we need to work out the details. And I'm trying to work out the details, and I'll give the trustees a proposal, really, of which they need to decide what to do about that. So, again, there's something to pray for. So that's Jim, just moving on. Missions ahead. Back to Derby Green, now that Mike's moved on to sunny climes of Hungerford, but the mission goes on beyond the minister being there. The people of God there want to go on. I'm working with Dave Colhane again, unfortunately, and also in Cuddam and Down. David's got a mission there. And then as a result of our Fairlight mission, Bexhill and Tastings with Martin, a couple of missions probably coming up there as a sort of spin-off, and a possibility of a mission at Crowborough with Andy, who's there, through the team member. So that's it. And then, of course, Ireland, Eglinton, which is Derry, with Paul Hoey. Many of you remember I mentioned Paul Hoey has worked with Ireland. It's his church, so we're going out there, and Jim will be with us anyway, whether he's whatever the situation, but he's coming on that mission. And then quite exciting, there's Bishop Ferran, who Daniel and I knew back in the times, and looking at maybe a bigger sort of mission across the west of Ireland, and the possibility that may happen. There are a number of evangelical clergy across a huge area of the west of Ireland that it may come together for a mission. But again, that's still to be worked ahead. So it hasn't been that busy, really. But God is good, and we look forward to see what he's going to do. Just my own situation. Thanks for your prayers. I've been working in New Haven with the churches there, and felt a call back to Seaford because I was spending a lot of time away from Jill, and then I was away from her. She's at Seaford. I'm at New Haven. But we managed to set up New Haven Youth for Christ through the youth workers and everything like that. And I'm involved with speaking with teenagers midweek and Sunday evenings, which has been an unexpected blessing. But please pray for that as I continue that work, but actually possibly go back to be more at Seaford Baptist Church, as they've asked me to be head up their evangelism in the area. So, yeah, nothing much to do, really. Bless you. Thank you.